Well, if you were here last Lord's Day morning, well done. You got through January the 6th and you're here today. If you were here, you'd know that is the day when there's a big spike in the mortality rate. Anyway, we're here, aren't we? By the grace of God. And we're looking again at the life of this great man, Elijah. Prophet of God. Prophet of God. You know, at the end of what we read, the woman said, "Now I know, word of God. You have the word of God. Truth you have." As she was still a little bit, I don't know, skeptical and just wondering, really, is this man who suddenly appeared here in my home, in my own district, and who's done these various things? I've heard perhaps a bit about him. Who really is he? But at the end of what we're going to be just thinking about a little this morning, she is for sure that he really is the prophet of God. The word of God is in his mouth. Now we are, here's our bit of geography here, we see, in part of the world called Samaria. Take it from me, that is Samaria. That's not the Lake District or somewhere else, and I'm putting a fast one on you there. Yonder is our map as well. So we have various places there, Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee and the River Jordan and such places as that. And Elijah comes from that side of the River Jordan over here. I'll do my school teacher bit here, pointing at the blackboard. There it is over there. And that is Samaria, all this sort of northern area there. So there are the pictures that go with that. And he has, we just cast our minds back, been hidden away somewhere up here in the reaches of the Jordan, fed by those ravens that came every morning, every night with meat for him. And the river that he was by, the little brook Cherith, that just kept flowing. Because remember, it's a time of famine, time of drought. 3.5 years, as we heard there, which our Lord, when he preached in Nazareth, told them that's how long it was, although they knew that fact as well. And so, hidden away all that time, until, as we saw last time, the water ran out. And it was time for him to move on. God sent him to this place called Zarephath, which was near to Sidon. So up here, way out of the usual places here, this is real pagan country. This is where Jezebel, with all her Baal worship, who married Ahab, brought disaster with her. This is her area up here. That doesn't sound like a great place to go, but that's where God sent Elijah. And he found the widow, found them gathering sticks, and he asked them for something to eat. And she says, "Well, we're just gathering these sticks here. We've got nothing, practically speaking, in the house. We're just going to die. That's where we're at. We're just going to die." And Elijah asks her what she has, and she tells her, just a little flour in our jar, and just a little oil, this jug, that's it. And the Lord speaks through Elijah and promises her that the flour is not going to run out, nor will the oil, until the day when God again sends the rain to that district. And lo and behold, here they are, enjoying continuing food. Food for her and her son, she's a widow, remember, and food for Elijah. So he stays with her, and what an outcome. What an outcome. So a miracle has been performed there. Let's move these down here. And we'll see what happens next. Well, we know because we read it just a moment ago. So here's the title for this morning. Just when things seem to be going well. Okay? Just when things seem to be going well. Food, miraculous provision. God had sent this prophet Elijah to their house. There was this widow and her son. Zarephath doesn't want to stand still, does it? There was this widow and her son. There's food that's miraculously being provided for. God is with us. Isn't this wonderful? It's just going to go on, isn't it? Well, just when things seem to be going well, that son falls ill, doesn't he? So we have a heading here. No such thing as the status quo. No such thing as the status quo. The status quo means things just stay the same. Everything just stays the same. We stay the same. What's going on out there stays the same. What God is doing just stays the same. Nothing stays the same. Nothing stands still. So, you know, remain. Well, no, it doesn't mean remain the same. Things will move on. Things will change. It may turn out a bit different, perhaps, than might have been imagined. Who can say? So no such thing as the status quo. That comes to pass here, doesn't it? You could have thought, well, this just carries on like this, doesn't it? There's the flour and the oil. And you come in each day and there's food on the table. And you just wait for the rain to come. And surely it will one day when God says to Elijah, now is the time to pray the heavens be opened. And surely they will. What could possibly go wrong? Well, no such thing as the status quo. Things are always moving on. There is always something happening. We don't always know what it is. And in this case, of course, it's the lad. That his health, we don't know what it is, but it's obviously serious. His health is beginning to decline. Something going on with him. And then, sudden shock. Sudden shock. Wow, it was more than just a head cold or something like that, or a touch of something nasty in the tummy, which some of our friends have had over these days. No, it's not that. This was really serious. And his spirit leaves him. His life goes out of him. And the widow, well, she is in such grief of soul. She believes he's a man of God. But it's almost as if him coming to her has not brought her there, you know, good things, though it seems as if everything was going fine. But in the end, she says, well, this is what it was about. You've just come here and it's just shown what a sinner that I am, that God is just going to judge me for this and punish me for my sin and take my only son from me. Sudden shock. You know, people often do think that. Something goes wrong. Oh, there's some judgment here. Oh, that means that's just my sin. This is all that it is. What a wretch I am. Suppose we deserve it all in the end. Truth in that. Yes, none of us deserve any of the good things we have. We don't thank God enough for them. We take everything for granted. But it wasn't about that. Even though it looked as if, well, perhaps that's the answer. As God is just bringing to this woman here some particular difficulty, some hardship, some tragedy, just to really make her realize, well, what do I deserve anyway? Why shouldn't God deal with me like this? This is it. Elijah, you've come here just to remind me that I'm, in God's sight, nothing and nobody. She could have thought that, could have stayed with that thought. But Elijah knew that there was a little bit more in God's purpose, and God's plan for this family. Up away here, these aren't your root and branch Jewish people or even proper speaking northern kingdom people. This is remote Gentile country. This widow doesn't belong amongst the people of God in that way. She's way out there, up in Sidon, where most of her neighbours will be Baal worshippers. But of course, we know. It can happen, can't it? Sudden shock, something happens. And we're all, what's this, what's that? And then hope revives. Elijah knows. And indeed, he cries out to God, doesn't he? And his prayer is very raw. God, is this what it's about? That you've brought me here and it's simply to see this boy die? Is this it? And he doesn't believe that it is. So he takes the boy, lays him down on the bed there, doesn't he? Way and prays for this child. God's work begins. The child revives, doesn't he? He's brought back to life. And we read about how Lord Jesus Christ going into the city of Nain and there being that party of people coming bearing a coffin on this occasion, weren't they? And that was a similar situation. Widow, no husband, only son. He was dead, just going out to bury him. End of the story. And of course he stops them and he touches the coffin, which is open, and calls forth that boy to arise. And just as Elijah presents the son alive to his mother, so the Lord Jesus presents the son back to his grieving mother. Wow. You see, Elijah, here's a little lesson for us here. Elijah is a type of Christ in this, right? What does that mean? It means this. It means that some of the things he does and some of his ministry and the way that he does things and some of the happenings remind us when we read the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, that was like Elijah. Yeah. He's like an example of what the Lord Jesus is going to do. Elisha is another one, by the way. But Elijah here, we're staying with him. So he's showing us something of what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do in his time. In a greater way, even greater things, of course, because greater than Elijah is present when you see the Lord Jesus Christ. Just that little episode in the widow of Nain reminds us of this, and Elijah's ministry and how he raises the son and then presents him back to his mother reminds us of what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do in Luke chapter 7. Presents the son back to his mother. Hope revives. God can bring forth from nowhere and from nothing hope. He can bring in this time of drought when things seem to have been going so well. Oh, when things seem to have been going so well, we get kind of used to it. And then when things go badly, it can be more of a shock to us than if we'd already got quite used to things going badly, if we can call it that in any case. So the sudden shock, down the plunge, and then hope revives. And there's more than that too, because we didn't just read Luke 7, did we? We read Luke chapter 4. And wasn't it interesting that as the Lord is promising, oh, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's reading from Isaiah, isn't he, in the midst of the synagogue there, and reading from that particular place because he deliberately found it, and saying about all the things that are going to happen, the blind recovering their sight and the captives set free and the oppressed being delivered and the good news being preached to all. He then anticipates the thoughts and the feelings of the people in the synagogue in Nazareth. But they'll look at him. Well, this is Joseph's son, isn't it? Well, he's saying it's fulfilled in him. Well, they took a bit of an affront at that. How dare he sort of elevate himself above us, come from his humble family and stand there and start telling us these big things like this? Well, they didn't have to say that because the Lord Jesus knew that's what they were thinking. And he doesn't make it easier for them, does he? Because there they are thinking these things. So he says, well, you'll surely quote that proverb to me. Physician, heal yourself. What we've seen you do in Capernaum, do that here. Show us. Show us what you can do. Just make the thing happen there. Present it before our eyes. One sees the miracles. The Lord Jesus then denies them that. And has a little instance of where God can work very unexpectedly. And not according to our expectation, he talks about. But there were many widows, weren't there? During the time of the famine, but only one was Elijah sent to that widow in Zarephath, in the area of Sidon. Gentile country, big Gentile country. So not only is he saying, I don't do miracles to order, I don't just make the thing happen there so as I can show you, look, I can do it here, there and everywhere, like a physician I can heal myself too. No, he says, that's not what I'm about. You need to think beyond where you are to something greater and bigger than I'm part of. For what Elijah is doing here, he's another type, again in this. He's gone to the Gentiles. To one, to this widow, yes. And there's a bit of a one-off, yes. And he's brought to them life. Brought that son back from the dead. And the Lord Jesus says, and he also uses Elisha's example of healing Naaman. There are many lepers in the days of Elisha, but only to Naaman, the Syrian, another Gentile, that he went and brought that healing. And so here is Elijah going to the Gentiles, bringing them light and healing and blessing. And the Lord Jesus Christ saying to his very fiercely partisan, sort of Jewish kind of congregation, that there's going to be a work that I'm going to be part of that's going to take the word, not only just for you here, feeling your state of entitlement, and then we ought to have miracles done to order, particularly by you who've just come from this area and telling us what to do sorts of stuff, but I'm going to be bringing the word of God to the Gentiles, just as Elijah did. And you know, we're here today because of that. Many of us have Jewish background, perhaps somewhere in our ancestry we might have, I don't know. But I rather imagine most of us are a Gentile stock, and that we owe our everything, our salvation, our conversion, all of these things, because God had a heart for us as well. And that heart was seen here with Elijah going to that family. Oh dear, the disaster of his death, the son that he's raised up again. There's light, there's hope. And it's a little picture. Elijah's ministry, there's a little picture of what the Lord Jesus, in a much bigger way, was going to do when he promised there that the light was going to travel beyond simply to be preached to the Jews. It's come to the Jews first, but then also to the Greek, to the Gentile, to us. And so this little picture here, this story, narrative, buried away in 1 Kings chapter 17, deeply, deeply relevant, because there in Luke chapter 4, when our Lord preached on that day in Nazareth, took a passage from Isaiah chapter 61, isn't it, there, and preached about what he's going to do and how he's bringing light and how he's bringing healing and blessing, reminding his congregation there, and it's traveling and it's traveling and it's traveling. It's going to reach, like Elijah's ministry, beyond and beyond, and it reached us. So this connects with us. Just when things seem to be going well, sure, things don't stand still, they don't, there's something going on. Sin is at work, our bodies are decaying, the world out there, don't think it's getting any better. Sudden shock, son dies, and hope revives. Elijah raises that lad. No, it wasn't the widow's sin, it wasn't some particular lesson to her. Well, that serves you right, you took all that for granted, didn't you? No, it was that in the end, this little episode and the previous episode with the food should become something the Lord Jesus should preach on that day in Nazareth, and the results of which have reached us. We owe it all to him, don't we, in the end? So may God bless us, and may we, wherever we are, whatever things may be happening to us, just remember, God may yet bring out of that reviving hope. Will your anchor hold? Is our closing hymn, 489. Will your anchor hold?